one.
And a reminder, yes, we do have a winter weather advisory posted. Details coming up here in just a little bit. And welcome to City Matters. We've got most of the city in here. How are you doing there, Mike?
As usual, I travel with an entourage.
Oh, yeah. We're all huddled in here. And it's just as cold inside as it is outside.
We're about to start a fire over here. That's okay, right?
That's all right, yeah.
Okay.
It's all good.
Yeah, it unfortunately turned nasty on us in a hurry. I think yesterday, did we get up to 70?
Pretty close, yeah.
Had to have been close. So yesterday was quite a nice day, and this morning you wake up to the sound of driving rain and 35-degree temperatures that dropped to 30.
We went from 70 to 35 like you're being pursued by a trooper. You know?
Very accurate description. That's right. That's exactly
we
it.
We shut her down.
That's right. So, but I did have a conversation this morning with Keith Henry, the Public Works Director.
How's Keith doing?
Well, Keith was scraping ice off the side of his truck is what he was doing when I called him. So, unfortunately, it turned cold, I think, faster than what they had originally anticipated. So
that's true.
We don't really expect any adverse conditions on the road, but we are prepared just in case. We've got some trucks that are set up with sand salt spreaders. And more than likely, if we have anything today, it will be on the bridges and overpasses. It was warm enough yesterday that hopefully the road temperatures will hold up. And so, as I said, we don't expect anything, but we are prepared for it. But we do, of course, always advise caution whenever you've got conditions like this. I mean, Micah Seamers and I got in on the north side of my vehicle, and both of us about wiped out just on the running board. So ice is starting to accumulate on elevated surfaces. So we would certainly advise caution, but I don't think we'll have a catastrophe. We were just talking about Chicago was getting 3 to 6 inches, so we'll hopefully that stays up north and we don't have to deal with it here.
It can stay there.
You came south to get away from that, didn't you?
You betcha.
Well, and got a few announcements of things coming up before we actually get into the meat of the program. On November 23rd, White Rose Cemetery, I believe this will be their 17th annual luminary service. And the luminary service is really for those who have lost loved ones, and they do some poetry reading and things of that nature out at the White Rose Cemetery, and then they do have a luminary that you can take to the graveside of your loved one. So, but that'll be November 23rd. For more information, you can call 918-338-4282. Elaine Baines is the key to everything in the city of Bartlesville, and she will get you to the right person. But that's coming up for anyone who'd like to participate. We also have something a little bit interesting. The Bartlesville Community Center has submitted for a grant that requires votes. And this is the, I believe, Kelly, this is called the Levitt AMP grant, correct?
That sounds right.
Yep. And so the Levitt AMP grant, and the easiest way to find it is to just Google Levitt AMP grant Bartlesville. You'll have to register, and then you can vote for that. And what this will provide is, I believe it's a $15,000 grant. Oh, sorry, $25,000 grant. And this would provide music. They're doing this as part of the grand opening of the Tower Center. And so they were looking to provide, you know, several weeks' worth of music using this grant. So, but we need the citizens of Bartlesville help. If that's something that you're interested in and you'd like to see in your community, then we'd encourage you to again, Google Levitt, L-E-V-I-T-T, AMP Grant Bartlesville. And that should take you right to the page for that. So, but something exciting and hopefully that we will we'll be able to compete for and to win. I also had an announcement, I think this one was probably a couple of weeks ago when we first started talking about it. The mayor is interested, and the city council as well, is interested in meeting with any group of citizens that would like to meet with them. The idea behind this is really to be far more informal. Right now, you can, of course, call your council member. You can email them. You can contact them at any time. There's no limitations on that, but some people are a little uncomfortable with that. So what they were looking to do was to set up meetings with they preferred groups of citizens and be in small groups, you know, so 5, 10, 15, 20 people that they would schedule to meet. So it could be a church group, it could be a neighborhood group, anything of that nature. But in particular, what they're interested in talking about is getting the citizens' input for our next, it'll be capital elections. So we'll have a general obligation bond election and also the the CIP sales tax election, which is our capital improvement sales tax. Both of those we'll expect those will be coming up in the first quarter of next year. And the council's already started considering that. We've had a couple of meetings. City staff's been working on it pretty diligently for the last couple of months. So all of those things are kind of coming together. And one of the pieces that the council wanted to ensure is that if there's a group of citizens who had particular concerns or requests, that they wanted to have a way to hear those. That's what this is intended for. So anybody who is interested, again, you'll call 918-338-4282, and Elaine Baines will try to get you scheduled with your council member. And the mayor has said that he would like to attend, either if a council member couldn't attend or even if they could, that they may both come. So we can't have more than two. That constitutes a quorum. There you go. We have an Open Meetings Act, so we can't have more than two. But I know that they're very interested in this. So if anybody out there has a small group of friends or something, that they should contact Elaine Baines, not again, 918-338-4282, and she'll get you scheduled for that. So, and last thing that I have before I'll kick it off to our guests that actually have things of interest to say is the talk about the Tower Center. Just give a quick update on that. I guess it would have been a week ago, would have been on Monday. The City Council approved allocating some funding from an existing GO bond to add an interactive water feature at the Tower Center project. And so this is actually from the GO bond. There was a water feature that we are going to place in Johnstone Park. And this was one, what was the date of that election, Micah? What year was it? 2015? 2016? For this last GO bond election that we did.
No, it would have been 2017, 2018.
Is when we had the election. Yeah.
So planning in 2017,
election 2019. Yeah, and so that was approved by the voters, and it was approved as a splash pad in Johnstone Park. That splash pad, as we have gotten deeper into the design, we've realized that there's a way using city staff that we can save a substantial amount of money out of the original design or the original estimate. So there's $350,000 available to do the splash pad in Johnstone Park. City staff, after evaluating that, and I guess I should back up, the Tower Center Design Committee had expressed a desire to have an interactive water feature as part of the Tower Center. So in seeking funding for that, one of the options was to re-look at the Johnstone Park splash pad and see if there was any way to go ahead and build that in the way that we'd promised to the voters, but at the same time save some money. We've discovered that we could probably save about $150,000 off of that by using city staff. This would include the work probably for the grading and drainage and water and electric. So once we do all of that stuff, we believe that we'll be able to allocate about $150,000 from that money down to the Tower Center. So the final part of that on the Tower Center is that there will likely be a contest. This is one of the other things that the council approved, is the design committee didn't just want to build an ordinary interactive water feature. They wanted to do something that fit with the design of the Tower Center space. So what they wanted to do was to launch a contest, and essentially it will be, we'll accept submissions from artists, and it will be a $150,000 project. So they're going to tell us what they can build for $150,000 in the space that we've provided, that will be an artistic, splash pad and have some artistic features in it. So there was one question came up on Monday, it's a $150,000 prize for the artist. And it's not. It will be $150,000 to build it. And so we'll have them submit what they can build for $150,000, and we will choose the best one from among those. And again, the $150,000 is for the entire thing to be built, designed, built, all of that. So pretty exciting. This is really kind of one of the final pieces of the Tower Center that the design committee has really been looking at. There's still some fundraising going on, but it's primarily for trees, additional green screens, AV equipment, things of that nature. So all those things are out there, but this is really the last major design element that wasn't included in the funding that was hoped for when it was designed, but we weren't able to include funding for it. So That was approved by the council on Monday night. We expect that to start moving forward actually pretty quickly here in the next, I think, Scott, I believe there's a design committee meeting in the middle of this month. So hopefully that will get underway and we'll have a great addition to that space, which is already, you know, shaping up to be one of the most unique spaces in Bartlesville.
Well, I tell you what, the workers been going like double time. They were really hustling this past week, trying to you know, get done with the best weather possible that they could have.
And that's, we have lost so many work days, and Micah can talk about it here in just a little bit, but we've lost so many work days, not just on the Tower Center, but pretty much every project we have going on. And I'd say over, what, the last 6 months, you know, we've lost almost half of our work days, it feels like.
You're honestly, if you really look back, you're going on almost a year. I mean, we had a wet winter, last winter even. I mean, November, December were pretty wet, and it's just carried on into the spring, you know.
And
summer, so it's been a wet year, really. I mean, I think you're pushing back to a year, really, when you can start saying it's just been just really not great.
It's been
weather conditions for construction, so
been a little bit of a challenge, but it just kind of comes with the territory. This is part of it being in construction. You don't get to control the weather, and you have to work in it, and some days you just can't. So hopefully we'll get all that back on track, and again, this. Due to some of the weather, we're really looking now to open the Tower Center probably in the first part of next year. We are dealing with Bermuda grass, though, so even though it may be open, it probably won't be quite as green and pretty as it should be until, I'd say, June. And then again, that's all weather dependent, so it'll depend on temperatures and rainfall. But that project is shaping up nicely. It's been pretty interesting to be involved in. I don't think that any of us have ever been involved in a project quite like it that generated this much interest in the community and the citizens and in our corporate partners and in the foundations. It's been pretty cool. So I'm excited to see it wrapped up, and I think we're all excited to see it wrapped up for various reasons, but we really just want to see it open. So, but that's the next step in that. So I have brought with me Kelly Williams, and Kelly has a long history actually with the city of Bartlesville, Washington County, the newspaper, the Examiner Enterprise. So before we talk about City Beat, which is what I really brought her to talk about. Oh, and I'm sorry, before I move on, one of the things that I failed to mention, and I'm very remiss, is to wish all of our veterans a happy Veterans Day. We had a fantastic parade over the weekend that I know that we had a lot of city folk involved in, and it really, really was a great event, and wanted to thank all of the parade organizers, but bigger than that, wanted to thank all of our veterans for their service. Truly appreciate it. All of us in this room know that we would not be here without them, so thank them for their service. And I was remiss for not mentioning that earlier, so I wanted to squeeze that in before we moved on. But, okay, now back to Kelly. Yeah, there we go.
My job hopping.
And, yeah.
And the next item on the resume is.
So, Kelly actually started out, I think you started here as a parking enforcement officer. How long?
That was in, I think, 1989.
1989. So that was when you first started with the city of Bartlesville, and you were there as a parking enforcement officer for couple of years, right?
About six and a half long, very long years.
Parking enforcement is an interesting business. You're not beloved when you're a parking enforcement officer, are you?
No, there's no pleasing anyone.
And after that, did you go to Washington County as a deputy? Is that correct?
I did. There was a hiring freeze at the police department. They weren't hiring, and I was ready to leave parking enforcement. So Pat Ballard, who had retired as a lieutenant at the police department, was then sheriff.
That's the new sheriff, right?
Right. And so he had an opening, and I was fortunate enough to fill that position.
And you were the first female deputy in Washington County?
First female field deputy. There were other female deputies, but I was the first female to do the same job as the men.
And then after that, you served as the Bartlesville Police Department
as
well?
Yes, I came back after the hiring freeze was lifted.
Finally over.
With Pat's blessing, came back to the police department and was there about 6 or 7 years. You're really catching me off
this spot. I gave her absolutely no warning about this.
In fact, she's talking about City Beat, and I had planned to bring you up. you are in this week's City Beat.
She's trying to torment me, and I beat her to it. So I'm going to steal all of her time, and she won't have the opportunity. But then after you had worked at the Bartlesville Police Department, is that when you went to work for the Examiner Enterprise? Or?
Yes, I went to work for the Examiner as the city reporter. So I.
And that's where I first met you.
Connected with the city my entire adult life, I think.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's when I first met you.
Interviewed you. You were a lot. You were the chief financial officer.
I was Jason.
And then you were Jason, and then you were many promotions. And
that was when I first met Kelly. And Kelly, you went on to be the editor for the Pawhuska paper. I think.
Was an managing editor for the Pawhuska paper, which, just so I can cut down my job hopping a little bit, the Pawhuska newspaper is owned by the same company.
It's actually it was a promotion within the same company.
It was a promotion within the same company. And then I came back to Bartlesville as assistant managing editor, and then was managing editor, and then was editor. Now, we cut that off real quick so we could talk about City Beat.
That's right. So Kelly came to the city of Bartlesville with quite a pedigree, and I will tell you, we've been very fortunate to have her. The city of Bartlesville did not have any sort of formal media relations. We didn't have any publication of our own until Kelly arrived. She has built City Beat up from, well, nothing, because frankly she had nothing when she arrived. We did press releases. The directors did their own press releases. There was no consistency to them when we sent them, who sent them, what was in them. And so Kelly has brought a degree of professionalism to our media relations that we're, frankly, I'm thankful for.
Thank you.
And City Beat has grown from zero subscribers to about, how many do you have now?
Probably around 3,100.
3,100. So pretty impressive. This is
more people in vote.
That's true. We have more people reading City Beat than we actually have going and voting in our elections. Yeah. So we at least have an informed populace. So, but Kelly, so tell everybody a little bit about City Beat and what they can do and how they can sign up for it if they haven't already.
Well, City Beat's basically an e-newsletter. It comes in your email right into your inbox every Tuesday. If I get it out on time, which I normally do. Sometimes if there's a holiday on a Monday and we have a council meeting on Tuesday, I will wait to put it out until Wednesday just so I can put the latest news in there. But my self-imposed deadline is Tuesday afternoon.
And she's serious about herself. And I'm very
deadline-driven. So, but you can sign up for it by going to the website. That's www.cityofbartlesville.org. Just over to the right, scroll down about midway, and there's a place to sign up. If you can't figure that out, just send me an email, kwilliams@cityofbartlesville.org, and I'll sign up for you.
It is a great publication. In fact, almost everything that I covered earlier was in last week's City Beat. In fact, and even more than that, obviously, I skimmed over some things in the interest of time.
Last week was really a packed.
Last week
was a lot of writing.
It really was. We had a big council meeting, had a lot of events in there, and we'll actually be bringing back some directors at our next one, I think, to talk about some of the things that happened at that council meeting. So, as I said, truly do appreciate it. Anything else you want everybody to know about City Beat?
Thank you, Mike. I just want everybody to tune in this week, tomorrow afternoon, because there will be pictures of you at a firefighter training. Was that a couple of weeks ago in Oklahoma City?
Do I have creative control over those pictures?
No.
Because there's a couple of them that I probably don't want shared. It's the one where I'm gasping and out of breath. If we can skip that one.
You actually look very professional in all of these. I chose them, selected them wisely. So.
It really was a great event. I appreciate you putting that together. Those not for me, but for the guys who participated. And again, we talked about that. But the guys that went down there and took time away from their families to take me, it really was pretty exciting. So, but that, as I said, I'm going to be viewing those photos carefully to ensure that some of them, with me drenched in sweat and gasping for my life, that aren't included.
That's the good stuff. That just means you're working.
It turns out it really doesn't take that much work to get me in that condition anymore, Micah. That's the problem.
I'm not moving anything other than my thumbs. I'm sweating.
I'm with you. Oh, gosh. Well, thank you, Kelly. I appreciate it. Appreciate you sharing a little bit about yourself and the.
Thank you, Mike.
And City Beat as well. And with that, we're going to move on to the truly mundane But yeah. the most, actually, one of the most important things in any organization is its financial condition. And the city of Bartlesville is particularly dependent, like all cities, on sales tax. So Jason and I are usually around the 8th, 9th, or the 10th of the month are anxiously waiting to hear what our results are from that we receive from
eagerly waiting.
The Oklahoma Tax Commission. And I'm hoping that Jason has some good news for me because he and I haven't even talked about this yet.
No, just it wasn't
we failed
Friday,
to rehearse.
Wasn't here Friday, right. And it was here Monday morning, so I had to cram putting this together. But good news, like we've had consistently, you know, for the last several months now. Not great news because it's only up 1.33% overall collection, which is about $20,000. Better than a decline
compared to last year or the same month.
Yes, compared
right?
to last yep. year the same month, we're up about 1.5% overall. For the total for the year, we have adjust that for our Silver Lake Village TIF, and we are up a little over 2% for the month, which would equate to $30,000. And for the year, we're sitting about $164,000 above budgeted projections. So.
Oh yeah, and this is, as I said, this is especially important to the city of Bartlesville. What on an average year, what do we bring in sales tax?
We bring in between $18 and $19 million a year.
So a little less than $20 million in the general fund. I think that's probably.
It's going to get about 77% of that.
Yeah, it's and it is
$15 million range.
And so of a $20 million budget, sales tax comprises $15 million, and this is in the general fund, of course, where we do police, fire, library, engineering, accounting, all of those things, streets, parks. All of the things that most citizens think about are funded primarily by sales tax.
Through sales tax, yeah.
So this is critical for us, and we're grateful that the citizens continue to support local businesses, which also supports their local government. So,
exactly, Shop Bartlesville.
Yeah, that's right, Shop Bartlesville, especially in this holiday season as it comes up. There's lots of great options here. It just takes a little work to get out and see them. Can't do it from your couch.
Exactly.
So, all right. Thanks, Jason. I appreciate that, and I'm glad to hear it.
That didn't take long enough.
No. Sales tax report's short and sweet.
So, the person that's making the commentary in the background there is Micah Seemers.
Good morning.
This is our city engineer and engineering director, I guess, technically, is your title. And
either one works, yeah.
That's right. And so Micah is here to talk about the thing that most people really care about, which is the projects. That's the most visible thing that a city does is roads, streets, parks,
right.
even water and wastewater infrastructure, things of that nature. But before we jump into our status on our projects that we have ongoing, we just did a GO bond issuance. In fact, I think, Jason, the council approved it on Monday. We'll have the funding in the middle of December. Is that right?
Middle
to end of December. And, Micah, what all projects are included in that?
Yeah, so we issued right around $2.6 million worth of projects. That leaves us about $1.15 left to issue still. But the big projects on there, got a big piece of equipment for the street department. It's a grade all excavator. The one we got now is just constantly in the shop. And so that'll be a good addition for them. We do have some funds in there, about $300,000 for Pathfinder Parkway repaving. We've really in the past few months have been in the process of trying to plan out some different Pathfinder projects. We have some existing funds already in place.
We've got several years worth of funding that we're going to do major projects on.
And you can blame that on the engineering department. We've been dragging our feet around here. We've been behind for a while, so we're trying to get caught up.
Like that's all what's been going on. And in fact, we have used some of that Pathfinder money. We used it in front of the kiddie park.
We did, so. Yeah. That was kind of an unforeseen. It was an addition to that project. Yeah. We also as part of this GO bond, the same GO bond election, we had the kiddie park perimeter fence
right.
and the entrance through there. And as we got into that project and looking at it, we really need to refresh, extend Pathfinder through into the park from the trailhead there at Cherokee.
I think in that project we used some CDBG grant money for a parking lot.
We
used some sales tax money for streets. We used some geobond money for the Pathfinder, and then there was some geobond money for the fence as well.
So. And that is, we're happy with that project. We got creative there and used, I think, four different funding sources to come up with a pretty good project there. So. But we do have some additional Pathfinder repaving funds. We've got some funds to remodel Johnstone Park restroom. We've done a little bit of work on that one already with some other funds. So we'll find some other park upgrades that we can use those funds for. As you had mentioned, we have the splash pad at Johnstone. That was included with this issuance. Got $350,000 there, and we're going to be working on whittling that down so we can, not whittling it down size-wise, but finding ways to...
That's right.
To,
assigning more work to city staff, unfortunately, for city staff.
Keith, are you listening?
I hope not. He'll be calling me in a minute.
Hopefully he's not tuning in, right? We'll sneak that one in there past him, so... but then we do have two projects that really link closely together. We've got $150,000 for parking lot repairs and improvements in parks, and then also $100,000 for miscellaneous park improvements and erosion rehab. And so we've been tasked with actually looking at putting together some projects to repave some of the parking lots we currently have. There's some gravel parking lots at multiple parks within the city of Bartlesville. And so we're looking at paving some of those parking lots, reconfiguring some of those, and then making some other improvements in the parks with those funds. So, again, kind of along the same lines, you've got the fund specifically for paving the Cooper Dog Park parking lot. So we're basically going to lump those together really into one larger project.
Try to peel back most of the gravel parking lots that we've got and replace them with something a little more permanent.
Yeah, we've got a few of those. And there was a period in time that we, you know, we saw a need and... try to do it as inexpensively as possible. And try to get it done quickly. And so we do have some gravel lots we need to take care of. So we're committed to doing that. But a little bit of money in there for some golf course equipment. But really the bigger projects sent on down the line. We got two large storm sewer projects. There's one for the Candlestick Court storm drain. This is back in there in Colonial Estates. I think Craig Tate has taken the brunt of this, his backyard. It's a large system.
Very large underground pipe.
It's rotted out. It's a metal pipe.
That's right. It's past its useful life.
It's rusted out. We've had multiple sinkholes in some of the backyards through there, so we do have funding coming online for that. So we'll get that taken care of. And then one on 8th Street, we've got some storm sewer that really, this came from a request from the street department. They're just constantly having to do maintenance work on this line. It's an old clay tile pipeline. And we're going to go in there and fix that for about $230,000 or something like that. So, and then the last one, we've got some funds for Cudahy. We've got actually two projects. There's an asphalt portion and a concrete portion. Total, it's right around $500,000 to upgrade Cudahy, essentially from, well, really the whole stretch of Cudahy.
So from almost everything from east to west.
Pretty well from Johnstone on out to, I think, Sunset almost. Yeah.
I think you're right.
But so that's all the projects that we've got. Just recently coming up.
All those projects, we don't expect to have the money until December, so it's one of those things that, for a citizen, it's hard for them to understand, but we're not going to receive the money till December. So many of these are being designed. Some of them have already been designed. So some of these projects you might see started by spring. Others you might not see completed for 2 to 3 years.
And unfortunately, that's the way things kind of work out.
That's part of the construction business. There's planning, there's weather, and then there's scheduling. So
don't lose hope, though. They're still in the works. They didn't go away.
If we pass the GO bond, if you voted for something, we are going to build it.
That's correct.
Would you be interested in taking a quick call before we wrap up? We probably got a little bit more to go here.
Sure. I'm with some trepidation. Sure.
All right, caller, good morning. You're on the air. Caller, good morning. You're on the air.